Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Minister Pastor Devin Miller. He was on the show a couple of weeks back on Sunday. I hope to continue to have him on Sundays. How are you doing this afternoon, Pastor Devin Miller? Hello? Mr. Miller? I apologize for those listening. I have a little bit of technical problems here. I thank you all for tuning in. Pastor Devin Miller, are you on Show Talk with Angela Butler? All right, everyone. Hold on a few seconds, a few minutes, a couple of minutes. I am having technical difficulties. With Angela Butler. I am Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Pastor Devin Miller, who I hope, once again, as I said earlier, to have on the show every Sunday. How are you this afternoon, Pastor Devin Miller? Hello, Mr. Miller. Okay, I am having some technical difficulties, but I cannot hear him. Mr. Miller, would you please call back in, sir, because I cannot hear you. Sorry, everyone. I apologize. This happens from time to time. Technology, sometimes it's good, sometimes it isn't. Pastor Devin Miller?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Thank you. Thank you for your
All
patience.
All right. No problem. I know what the issue was. I had to be put into your queue in order for you to unmute me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I used to be on Blog Talk Radio for about 5 years, so I know how the system works.
Yes, they can mess up sometimes.
Yes.
I'm going into my 8th year, God willing, in January.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
Yes, sir, it is. Thank you. It's a blessing to be here. Waking up this morning is a blessing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, would you reintroduce yourself for the people who may be calling in or listening to the pre-recorded episode and may not have heard the last? show?
Not a problem. Again, God bless each and every one who is listening or will be listening. I'm Pastor Devin Miller. I'm residing currently in Dallas, Texas. Been in ministry for 37 years. And God has blessed in that time for me to do a lot of different things for the kingdom. Anything from teaching Sunday school to preaching within a few states over the last few years. I'm a current author of a book entitled The Miracles of Jesus, The Process of Community Building Through Kingdom Expansion. And we're using that book as a vehicle to really revitalize, revive, and reconnect churches to community, because we are so, in many cases, so disconnected from what's going on in our various communities, and yet we have churches on almost every corner. And so the purpose of this book is to recreate language that we can use amongst ourselves as believers, but more importantly, across lines of community organizations and even law enforcement, for us to come up with a common language that we may be able to change and transform some of our communities that seem to be inundated with issues, causes, and cares. And so that's my mission, and that's my mandate, is to teach and to preach, more so teaching, to really get people to understand their authority in the kingdom, the power that they have access to, and to really dispel some of the traditional and cultural norms that have prevented us from having the power that we rightly have inherited as joint heirs with Christ. And so, again, I'm happy to be on the show to kind of shed some light on some scripture that we have maybe not looked at in the way in which God intended.
Yes, sir. I know last couple of weeks back you were talking about the church and the needs that the church was not meeting. And that I got a lot of feedback on that show, and you really helped a lot of people.
That's good. And that's really the whole purpose. That's really the whole purpose, is that, you know, we go to conferences and we go to workshops, and what they've turned into is not teaching opportunities, but they've turned into preach-offs. Who can preach the best? Who can, you know, hoop the loudest? And things of that nature. But really what God has called us to is to really teach. And until we start to teach, we have to we really have to get back to what the Great Commission called us to do, and that is to teach and to make disciples. And we're so busy trying to make leaders and not make disciples under one leader, and that is God. And so we're too busy trying to create people to follow us instead of follow God, and we're not taking the words that Paul said when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That should be the mandate and the calling of every pastor or every spiritual leader that claims God as their God, as their Father, and Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord.
Yes, sir, that is true. That is true. So what are your scriptures going to be about today, sir?
Well, again, you know, like I just was alluding to, I wanted to really look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and really talk about, because I've been on this theme of what our purpose is. And, you know, there are several purposes in life. There's our personal purpose that we create for ourselves, either through our education or through the people that we associate with or are affiliated with. There's our professional purpose, responsibilities that go with that job. But then there's also our spiritual purpose. And so often we neglect our spiritual purpose because we're so focused on our personal and our professional, when in fact it is our spiritual purpose that really drives the other two, our personal and our professional. And so when we look at this scripture, starting with verse 18 of Matthew 28, it reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, when you look at these three passages of Scripture, two things should jump out to you. One is that he uses the word teach twice. He uses it in verse 19 saying what to teach, and then he uses teaching in verse 2 as an action word, which is a present word. It does not mean that it's over. It doesn't say taught them. It says teaching them, which means we are in the constant state of learning as believers of God through Jesus Christ. There is never a time when God is not teaching. There is never a time when God is not trying to help us to learn the lesson of that present time. One of the things that I have grown to love is that in my teachings that I do on Facebook, is that God dropped in my spirit one day is that the reason why we want people to be present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, is that because when we are present, we are able to be in his presence. And being in his presence is what he wants us to be. He wants us to consistently dwell in his presence. Now, that does not mean, and this is where we have fallen short, is that that does not necessarily mean being in church. It means being in constant connection to God through the Spirit. And when you look at the Spirit of God is what we receive when we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. And that is a gift. And a gift is another word for gift is present. So the word present has multiple definitions for the believer. We are to be present. We are to use the present, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we are to be in his presence, which is constant, which is ever-changing, and which is always moving forward. Now, where is it moving? It's moving toward our ultimate goal, which is to be with him. So the process upon which we are to get in his presence is to utilize the present that he has given us, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we understand that, then we understand that our goal and our aim as believers is to teach. It is not to, and we, if you look at churches now, we are so far away from teaching because we're so focused on preaching. What does preaching do? Preaching brings the focus on me. Teaching brings the focus on the subject matter upon which I am teaching, which should be the Word of God. That's why I believe constantly, Sister Butler, that there are two things,
yes,
that are supposed, yes, to keep us connected to God. That is prayer and the Word. And
yes,
if you have a strong prayer life, you will have an equally strong, if not ever developing, Word life. Meaning, in
yes,
order for you to understand what God needs you to do and what you need to ask God for, you got to be in his Word. You cannot
that
ask
is so
anything
true.
Of God that is not in his Word, because anything else is man-made.
Yes,
see,
yes.
And that's where we miss the boat on so many levels, because we are so busy trying to preach to folks instead of teach folks. Because if I preach to you, what you going to say? Oh, that was a good preach, Doc. Oh, man, you brought that word, and that's going to bring glory and honor to me. Say, I'm teaching you. Then what you're getting is you're getting the essence and the substance of the word upon which I am teaching. And it takes the focus off of me because it first has to teach me, as Paul said, I have to be disqualified in order to be qualified to teach the word. What does that mean? That means that God's got to convict me before I can convict you of what his word says. And the reason why most pastors and preachers and bishops and apostles and whatever name you want to give it stay away from teaching is because teaching requires self-examination. See, I can't teach what I don't know. I can't teach what I'm not working on myself. I can't teach if I don't know the source upon which I am teaching. But I can preach because preaching is about me. Preaching is about what I can do. Preaching is what about my talent and my gift, and I can put God's name on it, but at the end of the day, I'm going home saying the people enjoyed me, or we like to say the people enjoyed the God in me, but what we're really saying is that they enjoyed you, Doc. Be honest and truthful with it. They enjoyed you, and that's why you keep trying to do more, say more, hoot more, holler more, because you are getting hooked. And you're getting high on the accolades that you are getting in the service. Because when you're teaching, there's silence. Ain't nobody going to be doing too much amens and, oh, Doc, you got it going. That's not going to happen when you're teaching. What's going to happen when you're teaching is that it's going to create more questions than possibly answers. And what it's going to make you do is what Paul told Timothy is to study to show thyself.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus Christ also was called teacher. Please go on, sir.
Yes. Because and you're taking me there. That's why I love talking with you. Because if we are supposed to be Christ-like, if the definition of Christian is to be Christ-like, what was Christ? Christ was a teacher. He was not known for preaching. He was known
when he
for
was on
teaching.
The earth. Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's right.
And if we are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ, if we are supposed to do even greater things than he was able to do, because the spirit that moved him is the same spirit that moves us, then why are we focused on preaching than teaching?
I understand that. Jesus Christ is I also understand there's no shortcut. You have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to be connected with Jesus Christ to get to the other side. There's a long road,
exactly.
There's a short road. One of them leads to hell, and the other one leads to heaven. I understand that.
Exactly. So when we look at this scripture, because I want to walk through this scripture, when we look at this scripture, the first thing Jesus said was, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then when you tie that with John, when he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, tag on to the glory of God our Father. Then we understand that the power that was given to Christ by God is the same power that was given to us when we speak in Jesus' name. Now, that does not mean that everything that we say we have to say in Jesus' name, but we have to say that the power of attorney, the power that activates the spirit that dwells in us, is when we recognize that it is not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by the spirit, then we understand in order to activate the spirit, we've got to call on the one who has the power, and the one who has the power is not us, but it is Christ. And in order for God to activate the power that's in us, we have to go through Jesus Christ. And too often we get caught up in signs, miracles, and wonders, and we don't get caught up in the very essence of the power, which is for us to be obedient to the word, the will, and the way of God.
Yes, sir, that is true. Signs and wonders. It does say that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. That's true, but I understand also what you're saying about Jesus Christ, very much so. He's more important.
Exactly. And
his signs
and
wonders that follow those who believe.
Exactly. We are so taught. We are so tied to the signs and wonders, but we're not tied to the power. And when we're focused so much on signs and wonders, and we're not focused on where those signs and wonders come from, signs and wonders follow those who have been taught. Because every time Christ performed a miracle, he did a teaching first. He asked questions. When he brought the when the parents brought the child who had a demon spirit, there was a teaching that went on. Even in that brief moment, there was a teaching that went on. He said this. He said once the disciples could not do anything, they went to when Jesus came on the scene. He said I brought my child to your disciples, and they could not do anything. Can have mercy on me and heal my son. The first thing Christ did was he talked to the disciples and said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? That's a teaching. That's a question. That's a self-examination. And that is what has to happen in each and every church that we're in. We must self-examine before we start to perform the signs, miracles, and wonders that we may have the ability to do. If we have not examined ourselves, then there is no way that we can tap into the power. Then what we are doing is we are slapping God's name on something that has nothing to do with him.
Right.
And so when we look at that second verse, that 19th verse,
the signs and
says,
wonders
go,
won't follow. The signs and wonders and the miracles may not follow. That's my understanding.
Exactly.
Am I wrong?
Exactly. If there's no teaching,
that could
be
the miracle.
How do you understand the miracle that is happening if you don't understand the teaching in front of it? And so that's why so many people come to miracle services. And if you go to miracle services, there's very little teaching that goes on. There's a whole lot of preaching, but there's very little teaching.
I've never heard of miracle services.
Oh, yeah. In some parts of the country, revival. They throw that name on there, but there's a gentleman by the name of Peter Popoff on national television, and all he has is miracle services.
Oh, I watch him sometimes. Yes, sir.
But when you really peel back the onion and look and see what's going on, there's very little teaching. There's a whole lot of preaching. There's a whole lot of talking about miracles and what happens when you get a miracle and God wants you to have a miracle and God wants you to be blessed and God wants you to do that, which is true. But if you're not equipped to handle the blessing that he has for you, then what good are you to the kingdom? Because here's the thing. If I bless you with $1 million and you can't even handle 10, then what good is the blessing? If I give you a $40,000 car and you can't even handle a $12,000 car, what good is the blessing? And this is what
not,
this
it's
is
not,
the whole
it defeats the purpose.
It's not. Exactly. So what does he say in verse 19? He says, go ye therefore, and again he says, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, if I get real picky, how many churches are really baptizing? First of all, how many are teaching? And then once the teaching occurs, then understand that the teaching leads to baptism. Because once I understand who I am in God, once I understand what Christ means to me and what he has done for me, even when I was in my sin, then why would I not want to say the words, what must I do to be saved? And what am I being saved for? I'm being saved for the works that God would have for me to do, i.e. purpose. And what am I being saved for? And the second saved for, I'm being saved for the second coming of Christ to bring me unto my Father who is God. So that's why you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is the one that's going to teach you. The Father is the one who's going to teach you. Jesus is the one that's going to guide you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to give you the power to do what your Father tells you to do. And then he says in verse 20, teaching them what? He tells you what to teach them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Who is the I? And this is where we get confused. The I is not Jesus. The I is God. Because God is the one who holds our purpose in the palm of his hands. Christ does not hold our purpose. God does. Christ's position right now in the present is to intercede on our behalf when we don't necessarily follow what God calls us to do. And this is the teaching that we don't teach. We're so busy praying to Jesus when Christ said himself, don't pray to me. He said, when you pray, pray our Father. And how many of us are saying, Jesus, come and fix it. Jesus, come and do this. Jesus, come and do it. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. He is not getting up and down every time you pray to come and see about you. You are to pray to God, and God administers angels to care of your situation. Christ's job is finished. His job was to be our substitute and to take sin out of the equation. He has done that. It is finished. What we are living through now is the residue of Satan's charge, which now he is a defeated foe. He has no power. He had none in the beginning, but he has none now. And all he is doing now is reminding us of when we were sinners, reminding us of when we didn't know God, reminding us of when Christ was not a part of our lives. And we fall for the trap every single time, and it plays and manifests itself in drugs, alcohol, promiscuity. All of that stuff are actions because we are not responding to the call of God on our lives as believers. Now, I can't say this to the sinner, because the first thing the sinner has to do is be taught that he was already loved by God while he was yet in his sin. That's what John 3:16 means when we teach it correctly, that you had nothing to do with the love that God has for you. You have nothing to do with Christ's work on the cross, and you have nothing to do with the work that Christ is doing now, seated at the right hand of the Father. Very few preachers will talk about his position now because they themselves do not understand it. They do not understand what it means to intercede. They don't understand what it means to be an advocate. They don't understand what it means to be a surety. They don't understand what it means to be a mediator. And that is Christ's job now. He is not healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding 5,000. He's not doing that. That is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be feeding the homeless, the hungry. We're supposed to be clothing the naked. We're supposed to be giving sight to those who cannot see. We are the ones that are supposed to bring hearing to those who cannot hear. We are the ones that are supposed to be helping the lame to walk. And how do we know this? Because he says in that last verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Why is amen at the end? Because amen means it is so, which means this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. And we are so far away from the commands of God that God is waiting for the church to wake up, rise up, and move out and do what he told us to do. All these other things we're doing, if they're not tied to what this verse says and these verses say, then we are not operating under the unction of God. We are operating under the unction of ourselves. And we are giving ourselves glory instead of giving God glory. And I believe, Sister Butler, that God is not pleased.
Yes.
Because if it was please, then we wouldn't be having these conversations.
No. No, we wouldn't. No, and you wouldn't be on my own show talk with Angela Butler teaching there.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we don't have much longer. We may have a minute or two.
Okay. So let me close with this. I'll close with this. Is that I use this analogy that God gave me just yesterday. And that is the analogy of a professor and students in a college. When you go to college, you have the opportunity to choose what classes you want to take and whatnot in order to get the degree that you desire. But I believe that when we look at this from a spiritual perspective, there's only one class that you can take, and there's only one professor. All right? And here's how it plays out. There are many people that have gone to this professor's class, but they don't necessarily get the grade that they wanted because they don't like the way the teacher teaches. Because the teacher teaches through trials and struggles and questions. And some people come into the class and saying, well, I know it all. I just need him to stamp it. I just need him to say I'm okay. You have others that come into the class. You know, I don't have a clue of why I'm in this class, but I've heard that this man is a good teacher. I've heard that this man, whoever gets his class, they go on to do greater things. And so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take everything that I can. So you always have these two people that are in this class trying to get what they can from this professor. Now, when the professor lays out his work, his plan, and all that, he says, read this book and all that, the one person that thinks he knows it all goes and says, I'll just read a little bit. I'll just get the highlights. I'll be able to pass the test because I already know where he's going. I'm just trying to get his stamp of approval. The other person says, you know what, I'm going to study this book. I'm going to make sure I get everything I can get. I'm going to make sure that I ask the questions I need to ask because I want to gain every piece of knowledge that this person has for me so I can move on to where I need to be. Now, at the end of the deal,